some of the things from Bill Hybels and at least his chapters. And we were talking about how we can make our life work. And a couple of weeks ago, we first started off by talking about how we make our life work by searching for godly wisdom. You know, when you look at the world gives not wisdom, but very often folly. The pattern of the world very often is foolishness as far as God is concerned. So we've been talking about finding wisdom, and wisdom comes from God. Would you say amen to that? God gives wisdom. There's true wisdom from Him. So if you want to make your life work, then find wisdom from God. Let your life be orchestrated, ordained by godly principles of wisdom. After that, we talked about taking initiative. You want our life to work. We want our life to be successful. But you know what? We need to take initiative. We need to get out from our comfort zone and do what God has called us to do. If not, then we get caught in the rut. If we're the slug, we just get caught up in our a position of not moving. But God wants us to be industrious. He wants us to take initiative and see development and change and progress in our life. There's no place for a Christian to say, whatever will be, will be. That's not the way. God has given us a chance to make change. That comes through God's power. Last week, I shared about doing good. I want to know how many people did good last week. It's a pity. We've got a couple of saints here who are doing good. Everybody else is doing bad. I hope not. I was trying to feature a couple of testimonies of people who did good this morning. But and I mean, I don't want to jump that on you. But last week we talked about doing good. And the book of Proverbs teaches about doing good. And I was glad to hear some stories about people who did good and just last week. And I'm thankful Delise went to China. And before she went to China, she told us, could you give us something? Sister Jenny needs different things in China. And she availed herself to bring and transport some material. And you know what? There's a lot of inconvenience associated with that, especially going to China. Technically, you can't bring some of those material or Christian material, but she was willing to bring that in, and despite all the difficulty in bringing that in. We thank God for that. That's doing good. Would you say amen? I was able to hear about, Pat Chuan shared about how early this week, and God gave an opportunity. She's been working with this colleague of hers in her workplace, but this colleague is opening up, wanting to know more about Jesus Christ, and she's doing what she can to share with her. I'm sure there are many, many other testimonies. I just highlighted one or two which I heard about this week. But I pray there are many, many great testimonies of people who are doing good. And I mean, you and I can do a lot of good things. Acts of kindness, acts of love, acts of care. When we reach out and touch lives, we're doing good for God, and He's well pleased. Amen? Today I want to talk about developing discipline. How do you make your life work? And one of those things where the book of Proverbs talks about quite a bit is about developing discipline. Another word for developing discipline is developing self-control. Develop discipline or develop self-control. Now, lots of us know about self-control, don't we? And if we think about some pictures about discipline, I'm sure you've seen. Oh, sorry. Let's get back to this. Nobody has a question, but if you're doing mountaineering, which I don't think anyone here in our church does, no. There is no question about that, but discipline is absolutely required to go out in those very, very cold Alps and to go through that hurdles is just so unimaginable unless you train yourself, you discipline yourself, you get used to a new climate, a new environment. There's lots of discipline involved, and all of us know about that. All of us are familiar. We've got a good number of athletes in our church, and athletes are very familiar with the fact that you need lots of discipline. The running, the hurdles, the different kind of events require lots of discipline. But you know, that's all great and nice, and most of us, well, that's not in our league, and we say, well, leave it to somebody else to do that kind of discipline. But you know, simple things like this, and exercise, talk about discipline. By the way, you know, 85% of people who own a running shoe do not jog. Just the stats, 85% don't jog, they buy a running shoe. talk about discipline, talk about exercise. And I just had some very interesting things about this. When people want to keep healthy and they want to be fit, they want to exercise, this is just some real interesting stuff. My grandmother started walking when she was 60. She is 97 now. I don't know where she is. Whether you catch it, but this is supposed to be real funny. I joined the health club and I lost $400, but I haven't lost a pound. Apparently, you have to show up. I have to exercise early in the morning before my brain figures out what I am doing. The advantage of exercising every day is you die healthier. If you're going to try cross-country running, start with a small country. We all know quite a bit about the difficulty involved with discipline, and half the jokes are all about that. People just, the idea about discipline, the idea of self-control, the idea of restraining yourself is not something which we're so wanting to embrace. It's a hard thing to do. When you read the scriptures or when you look at what the word discipline means in the Strong's Bible Dictionary, the word discipline comes from a Greek word, sophronomos, or however you pronounce it. It talks about saving the mind or coming to a place of self-control. In the Matthew second edition of the dictionary, it says this. It's mine. Restraining oneself or putting extra pressure on oneself to achieve a goal. You need to put, when you restrain yourself, when you put some control, when you put some barrier on yourself, that's discipline. When you put extra pressure on yourself, when you make yourself do some things which you normally don't do, that is discipline. So we want to look at the scripture and ask God to speak to us. And so why don't you pray and ask God to speak to us as we look at His Word. Father, I pray that today as we share about discipline, as You've called us to make our life work, God, I pray You give us understanding. We pray this in Jesus' name. And everybody say, we go to Proverbs chapter 25 and verse 28. Let's all read it together. 1, 2, 3. Like a city whose walls are broken down is a man who lacks self-control. The word discipline, the word self-control, they go together. In fact, the Greek, they're no difference. And in the olden days, they had the city walls were absolutely important. Very often you live, or at least you work outside the city walls. Agriculture and farming was done outside the city gates. But whenever you went home, you went to your houses, which was within the city walls. Because outside the city walls, there was danger, but within, there was security, there was a fortress, there was protection. And it's a pity when you look at your city walls, and your city walls are breaking apart, they're crumbling. And any city which has crumbling walls is an easy prey to an attacker. Everybody knows that there's a pitiful state. Everybody knows that there is no control in that city. So in the same way, the writer of Proverbs says that when you think about a person without self-control, it's worse than a person who's got his city walls which are broken down. Paul the Apostle in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 25 and verse 27, his whole passage is about discipline. He says this, everyone who competes for the prize is temperate in all things. Paul, if you look past that passage, Paul is talking about this athlete, this person who is training for the run. Paul, when he was in Corinth, that was the place where they conducted the Isthmian Games. Those were the very famous games where people all around, later on known as the Olympic Games. And Paul was there in that season. In fact, Bible scholars calculate the year that Paul was in Corinth to be the same year where the Isthmian Games was going on. And so Paul would have seen these people. In fact, Paul probably worked in a shop which was on the highway where people would be training and gearing their bodies up for the athletic races. And Paul would have seen these people. They are training. They want to win. None of them come all the way from their different states to that particular place in Corinth because they want to lose. No, everyone comes there because they're set on winning those races. And so he says this, everyone who competes for the prize is temperate. The word temper or temperate is the idea about being self-controlled. you temper your body, you ensure it comes to a certain way, you make it a particular way. They do this to obtain a perishable crown, but we do this for an imperishable crown. We do this, we discipline ourselves because we want to get something which is eternal. Paul goes on to say, but I discipline my body. I bring it under subjection. I put it down. In fact, when I looked at the Greek this morning, the word Greek for put it under subjection is the same word for making something a slave. To make something a slave. That's the same idea. I put my body under subjection. I make it a slave. I force it. I make it a slave. Lest when I preach to others, I myself become disqualified. There's lots of wisdom about discipline. When you think about discipline, when you think about children and discipline, children hate that. The idea about discipline does not work well. In fact, for many of us, when we, whether it's in school, whether it's in the army, whether it's in our childhood, when we hear that word discipline, it's always trouble, punishment, and we don't like discipline. But you ask anyone who is accomplished in any skill, talk to someone who is a skillful student. Talk to someone who is an athlete. Talk to someone who is a doctor. Talk to someone who is a teacher. Anyone who is successful in their field. And they will tell you it took a lot of discipline. The many nights where they stayed up and they studied hard. The many days when they did not go out with their friends but instead made priority their work and they did their best and they gave their best shot. Because they were disciplining themselves. Because what they needed to do was something big. And it took extra effort. It took lots of discipline. Discipline can be either your friend or it can be your enemy. But for many who are successful, discipline is their friend. They have taken discipline upon themselves. They have not given themselves to excesses. They have put themselves under self-control because they've got great ambitions, great goals which they want to achieve. And it's only achieved through wisdom. Another great wise word is, if you're going to reach your full potential, you need discipline. There are lots of people. And you can see success on their faces. Or rather, you see talent on their faces. You look at them, they've got great talent. I'm sure you've met many of them through the years in church. I think I've met lots of people who've got so much talent. I mean, talent, whether it's in music and service and giving, intelligence, they just have it all. But sadly enough, they lack discipline. And because they lack discipline, they just will not become the people that God intends them to become. You see, God has great plans for people. In fact, because He's got great plans, He puts talents and gifts in people. They've got skills, they've got intelligence, they've got ability. But you know what? Sadly enough, because they don't discipline themselves, they don't make it. They don't become the full-grown people that God intends them to become. I think about our spiritual life as well. God has called each one of us to be fully grown, mature, to be real reflections of Him. But that only happens when you and I discipline ourselves to be godly. Enough said about we need discipline. I'm sure the question that all of us think about is, how do we get disciplined? The first thing about getting disciplined is to admit that we need discipline. Admit the fact that there are areas in our life which is not self-controlled. We're not controlling ourselves. We're giving ourselves to excesses. We're not being restrained. And asking ourselves, are there areas in our life where we need to put or foster godly habits which would make us to be like Christ? I can think, as I was reflecting, as I was thinking about it, I can think of some areas where people need control. There's so many areas, but I just listed out some. And these are just general things. And this comes from the book of Proverbs. Proverbs 6:26 talks about lust. It says, not lust in your heart her beauty, or be captivated by her eyes, for the prostitute reduces you to a loaf of bread. Now that's interesting. It reduces you to a loaf or toast. It just makes you toast. And the adulteress preys upon your life. Uncontrolled lust. Some or a good number of people are given in. Their desire, their sexual desires get the better of them. They have no self-control. was reading the newspaper yesterday, and just having a little Straits Times report right in the first section about the number of teenagers in Singapore who get into sexual activity way before marriage as teenagers. I think it's something like 1 in 4, I can't remember the statistics. Me and my colleague at our department, we are doing a large project about some aspects of sexual behavior among people in Singapore. And in fact, in the U.S. statistics, it's something like by 13, when people are 13, about 30% of them are already sexually active. Singapore people are catching up. Sadly, we catch up with a lot of things. But you know, the fact is people cannot control their desires. They cannot control their sexual passion. There's so much more about temptation, which is here today than has ever been before. The enemy is well at work. There's so much places for sin. The Bible in Proverbs 6:27, the author of Proverbs, and probably Solomon, as he's giving instruction to his children. He first talks about the prostitute, a loose woman, or the adulteress. Talk about any kind of immoral situation. And he says, watch out, because when you give yourself into that, when you covet, when you lust after something, then it's going to reduce you right to a piece of bread. I mean, that's how low it can get you to become. And more than that, it says, in verse 27, it says, can a man scoop fire into his lap without being burnt? See, the fact is, temptation is so real, it's so powerful. Temptation is something that the moment you trifle with it, the moment you play with it, there is little chance that you will not be burned by playing with it. Many people, given a temptation, they say, well, you know, it's just once, or let me just serve this side just here and there once in a while. But they don't realize when they start doing that, bit by bit, they get sucked in to the passion. They get sucked in to the pornography. They get sucked in to the evil that's around. And bit by bit, you can't take fire to your chest and not get burnt. That's the scripture. And today, maybe the Lord is asking you, have you put your sexual passion under control? Talk about self-control. Talk about spending. Proverbs 21 verse 20, it says, in the house of the wise are stores of choice food. There is great food and oil. But a foolish man devours all he has. The wise people, they think twice. When they've got a lot, they make sure they ration things. They don't use everything they have. They've got money in the bank, they leave some in the bank. They do proper investment. But the foolish one uses everything he gets. Whatever he has, he puts it out. It's shocking how many people don't have much savings to their name. Now that's sad. Because all they have, they put it to something, and not for God's business, but for their own interest, and they make themselves, you know what, if you give it for God, most likely you also have a lot to save. We realize that the more you give to God, the more you become disciplined with your finances, the more you decide to live on less because you want to let somebody else simply live. But you know, when people get caught up with their own needs, their own interests, then so often they spend, they're uncontrolled, they have no control over how they spend the finances, they get in debt, their major debt. Uncontrolled ambition. Now some of us need some ambition. But you know, for some, ambition is the driving force around their life. Proverbs 23 verse 4, it says, do not wear yourself out to get rich, especially ambition to get rich. Ambition. Some people, they just craft their whole mind about, oh, how can I get up the ladder? How can I get beyond past these people? How can I get the $1 million? I just want this. And they push themselves after their ambition. The Bible talks about that as being a lack of control. It says the wisdom, do not wear yourself out to get rich. Have the wisdom to show restraint. You know what? The scripture actually tells us not to try to run after riches or try to get wealthy. In fact, the scripture tells us instead to do well on our job, to do the best, and let the Lord promote us. The Bible says promotion does not come from the east or west. Promotion comes from God. God will promote you. And if you and I would do our best in whatever we are doing in our career, in our work, in our school, God will take care of the promotion. Would you say amen? If He sees fit, He will give us the riches we need, because He can make good use of that. Amen. Proverbs 23, verse 29, 30, it says, who has woe? Who has sorrow? Who has strife? Who has complaints? Who has needless bruises? Who has bloodshot eyes? those who linger over wine, who go to sample bowls of mixed wine. Proverbs talks about controlling drinking or alcohol. In fact, the book of Proverbs actually talks about the fact that it's not good for kings to drink strong drink and for princes to drink wine. There's enough scripture in the Bible which actually tells you don't even think about drinking or getting into alcohol. Some say, well, it's all right once in a while, and you know what? I believe abstinence is the best thing to do. A little bit here, a little bit there. You don't know when, you just move down. And one day you begin to drown your sorrows in drink. God calls for self-control. Somebody say amen. Uncontrolled emotions, and maybe the rest don't make sense to you, but this one makes sense. Proverbs 29 verse 11 says, a fool gives full vent to his anger. A fool gets angry, he displays his full anger. But a wise man keeps himself under control. Proverbs 16:32, it says, better a patient man than a warrior, a man who controls his temper than one who takes a city. Do you have self-control when it comes to emotions? When you get angry, do you just say, oh, well, I blew up, I can't help it. I just was so upset, I blew up. You know, some of us just do that too often. And so often we just can't help it. You know, you can help it. He said, anger is not gas which just needs to explode. It doesn't. It's not. Anger can be controlled. We can control our anger. We can control our emotions of sadness, our emotions, whatever emotions which are not positive, we can control it. And some of us don't control our emotions. We allow ourselves to get into sadness and into depression. We get ourselves depressed, or we force ourselves to get sad. We get ourselves angry. We get ourselves jealous. God wants self-control. Would you say a good amen? In fact, God wants us to control our minds. The Bible in the book of Isaiah says, God wants people to have focused minds. Some of us, we just can't focus our mind. You're trying to study, trying to work. Your mind just goes completely distracted. Every single thing gets you distracted. They say that's one of the problems, especially with the internet now and the email system. Every moment you're checking out for your email. And you can't do your work because every time you see that little icon right at the bottom, it says new mail. Check it out. Let's see what's it. Or some new message or some, what's that? ICQ or something like that. Something is coming up and you just get caught with that. God wants our mind to be focused. God wants us to be self-controlled, whether it's our emotions, our desires, every aspect of our life. God wants control. Would you say amen? Maybe you've controlled yourself so well and you've got self-control. We praise God for that. We commend you. Turn to somebody and say, great. Because everybody here has self-control. But you know what? Maybe it's not about having self-control and bridling your desires, your sexual passion, your lust, your spending, your ambition, your drinking, and nobody drinks here. Everybody is great, good people. We're great. But what about some godly discipline? What about getting ourselves to live godly? And here are some godly disciplines which each one of us does well to take upon ourselves. Hebrews talks about regular church attendance. It says, don't forsake the gathering together of the saints as some have. There's some great godly disciplines which we need to put in our lives if we want to stay focused for God. A couple of years ago, I spent a whole series covering each one of these areas in a series called Spiritual Disciplines. And you know what? It wasn't a great sermon or a series, but lots of people felt that very useful because very often we don't, as Christians, keep discipline, especially when it comes to spiritual discipline. We try to do every other discipline, but we ignore probably the most important discipline, which is spiritual discipline. Paul the Apostle says this in Timothy. He says, bodily exercise profits, but it profits a little. But spiritual exercise profits in this life and a life to come. I think if you're godly, if you're thinking of the life to come, you think about spiritual discipline. Somebody say amen. And church attendance is so important. When we come to church, the Bible says in Hebrews, it says we spur ourselves as we come together to meet with fellow believers. We challenge them. We provoke them to good works and to service to God. We provoke them to worship God. That's what we do as believers as we come to church regularly. The Bible talks about the discipline of prayer. Romans 12 verse 12, it says, be faithful in prayer. Of God wants us. It's a discipline. Praying for people, intercessory prayer, that's a discipline. Every aspect of prayer is discipline. Our human mind does not want to do it, but our spirit man thrives on these spiritual disciplines. Mark chapter 2 verse 18 talks about Jesus says, and then they will fast. God has called His people. There's a spiritual discipline of fasting. Sometimes we let our human desire, our human need for food get the better of us. That's why as Christians, at times we call ourselves to a period of fasting. But we don't take food, or we stop ourselves, we don't give in to the desire of our body for a season in fasting. And in there, we give ourselves devotion to God. Joshua 1:8 says, it talks about studying God's Word and being a diligent student of God's Word. And by doing that, the Bible says, you become successful in all that you do. A lot of other scriptures talking about being diligent students of God's Word. The scriptures in the book of Psalms, which talks about how you get the Word of God in your mind. You don't depart from God's Word, but you study upon God's Word day and night. The Bible talks about meditating on God's Word. The Bible says about memorizing God's Word. You see, when we do that, when we get into God's Word, we'll never be rusty. We get into God's Word day by day. God keeps us from sinning. Psalms 119, it says, how can a man keep himself pure? By following your word, by meditating on your word day and night. By hiding your word in my heart, God, I will not sin against you. When we do that, when we let God's word become so much part of our life, when we give ourselves to studying His word, then God brings godliness into our life. St. Corinthians 9 talks about the discipline of giving. Of putting money and giving it for God's kingdom and His purpose. I'm going to go through that. But last one, simplicity. That's a discipline. Learning to live with what you have. Learning to be content with what you have and living simply so that others can simply live. Would you say an amen to that? Second point about how to get discipline. Just now we talked about we need to admit our need. And just now we had a whole list of things. But maybe as we went through that, maybe you're saying, well, maybe I'm not self-controlled. Or maybe I need to put these disciplines and make that a part of my life. And prayerfully today, before you leave this service, you will make up your mind. You will decide that, hey, is God telling me to admit my need for discipline? There's another thing about getting disciplined. And that's about acquiring the habit of delayed self-gratification. It's a long line. The habit of delayed self-gratification. It's about this habit. It's really a habit of waiting for things. Think about the child, and you can see this with children, that three-year-old kid, and he sees that wonderful, nice chocolate cake before him. And he learns that habit bit by bit. He savors, he takes the chocolate cake. But he finally, at the end, all that's left is the icing. The icing is the best part, at least for some children. And my wife, that's the best part. And that's the last thing. He saves it for the end. And wow, the pleasure, the last thing, the nicest thing, I leave it for last. People grow up and they learn that and they go to school. You come back from school in the afternoon, you've got lots of homework to do. Do your homework first. Finish your homework, because after you finish your homework, no mom and dad will stop you from playing. You can spend the rest of the afternoon, the rest of the evening, you can do what you want to do. But just give your best shot when you come back. Try to finish up what you have. People learn that right from an early age. Delay self-gratification. The kid, when he comes back home from school, the first thing he wants to do is to play as much as he can. The smart kid, the wise kid says, well, let me just wait a little while. Let me do all I have to do, and then I can get to do what I actually want to do. Delayed self-gratification. We grew up, we learned the same things. In our career, we know, hey, slog a little bit now, because one day as we slog out, we'll be all right. We'll move up the ladder. We'll be all right. We'll be taken care of. One day we can sit back in retirement. Other people want to retire the first day they go to work. It doesn't work that way. But others have realized, hey, let me do my best shot now, because then I'll save a good nest and one day I'll be comfortable. It's about delayed self-gratification. Scripture has a couple of ideas about this. Hebrews 12 verse 11, the Apostle Paul says this. He says, no discipline seems pleasant at the time, but painful. As a kid, you'll know that. As our son, he'll definitely know. No discipline. I mean, this obviously is speaking about correction in terms of being punished. But the same idea about discipline, of putting restraint upon your life. No discipline is pleasant at that moment. But later on, it produces a harvest of righteousness and peace for those who have been trained by it. When you allow yourself to get through discipline, God trains you in the process. Later on, there is a great harvest of righteousness, of peace. There are good things which come out because of your early willingness to accept discipline. When you accept discipline as early as you can, then you open yourself to a great harvest in future. Coming back to the words we mentioned just some time back, 1 Corinthians 9, 24 and 27, and I pulled out some parts of the words. It says, run in such a way to get the prize. If you're looking for the prize, then you need to run in such a way to get it. And Paul talks about it, therefore I did not run like a man who runs aimlessly. I do not beat like a man, or I don't fight like a man beating the air. No, I beat my body and make it my slave. I discipline myself. I put lots of restraints upon myself. I put myself under rigorous training so that I can one day get the prize. You see, it's a willingness to delay my immediate gratification. Right now, we want to do a lot of things. Right now, we're saying, hey, forget it. This is not the time to pray. It's a time to just play. But you know what? When we pray first, then we open ourselves for God's blessing. Somebody say amen. It's about delaying our gratification. We want things immediately. Everything for us is a vending machine. You press it, it must come right now. But you know what? When we are willing to put discipline on ourselves first, then one day you reap a great return. Somebody say amen to that. Finally, how to get disciplined. We need to depend on God's grace. There's a passage in Titus chapter 2, verse 11 to 14. Paul the Apostle is writing to Titus. And Titus is pastoring a church among the Cretans. Crete was a place. Paul himself mentions it. He says, for their gluttonous, liars, cheaters, immoral. And Crete was well known for this. Crete was, of all places, among places in that particular part of the world, it was a place known for its immorality. There's all kinds of what they call sex parties. There are all kinds of events where people came and just gave themselves to vile and sin. And Titus was ministering in such a place. And no doubt some people had come into church from such a pagan and evil culture. And so this is what Titus is told to do. Paul says, it's for the grace of God that teaches salvation has appeared to all men. And what does the grace of God say? It teaches us to say no to ungodliness and worldly passion, and to live self-controlled or live disciplined, upright and godly lives in this present age, for we wait for the blessed hope, the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us to redeem us from all wickedness and to purify for himself a people that are his own, eager to do what is good. Paul, in speaking to Titus, he says, I want you to teach that the grace of God, God's grace, teaches us to deny ungodliness. God's grace teaches us to be self-controlled. Sadly enough, in some places, in some churches even, when they talk about God's grace, it's all about God's grace. It's there. And because of God's grace, you don't have to worry about your sinful life. It's all right. But rather, the scripture says, because of God's grace teaches you to deny ungodliness. It gives you the power to say no to sin. We need God's grace if we're going to be self-controlled. If you're going to live the life that God has called us to live, then we need to tap on God's divine grace. God has grace available. If you and I need help to be controlled, listen, we need God's grace. Ultimately, you can grit your teeth, you can be so determined to get yourself self-controlled. But without the power, without the grace of God, very often our good intentions just fall flat. All that we want to do and we say, well, I want to stop myself from getting caught up in my lust. I want to stop myself from spending just anyhow. I want to be disciplined. I want to be godly. But you know what? We have all those good desires, and many people have all those good desires, but time and time again they fail because they fail to recognize that all my human attempt is just not able. I need God's power. I need God's strength. How can people live for God? They need God's strength to do that. You know, that comes with humility when we come to God and say, God, I need you. I've got no power in myself to be self-controlled. I've got no power in myself to be disciplined. God, I need your strength. You know what? When you open ourselves to that, God will give us the strength. Would you say amen? But you know, of course, some of us just say, oh Lord, I'm asking for strength and strength and strength. And God is giving us his strength, but we're not doing anything about that. But we continue to give ourselves to our lack of control. God gives strength, and God has called us to get up and use that strength to be self-controlled and disciplined. You say amen? Where are you standing? Let's look to God this morning. Now is to pray. I know this is very basic to most of us. Well, some of us, I mean, every aspect of our life, we're controlled, and we praise God for that. Maybe we have all these disciplines which are good, and that's good. But maybe you're here today and you're realizing, well, maybe not. Maybe if you're open enough and you're willing to admit the areas of your life which really need discipline. The areas of your life which are not controlled. Maybe the way you think, and maybe at your workplace, maybe at your school, there's just no discipline. There's no self-control. You're given into your passion. Maybe you're given into your anger, your emotions. If your anger or your emotions, you feel angry immediately. You just add fire to that, and you just live out your anger. You fume and you rage. Maybe the Lord is speaking to you today about self-control. I want us to look to God here today. And have Sarah at the keyboard. I want us to look to Him, man. All this place, let's ask God for discipline. We want our lives to work. We want our lives to be glorifying to God. We want our lives to be successful to Him. Let's ask Him, Lord, I want discipline. I ask you to bring discipline into my life. Let's all look to Him, all of this house. And I want you to first just give yourself a few moments. I've been preaching for the last 30 or 40 minutes, and maybe the Lord has been speaking to you, and all, you've not been hearing God. And maybe for just a few moments, you can just open yourself to God. And let the Lord speak to you. Hallelujah, in Jesus' name.